Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's raining. We are having a great morning. We needed it. We got a lot of rain last night across the state, and we're looking forward to a little bit this morning, but not too much. It'll just be enough to drizzle in, and that's what we need. It's going to be great. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. I was so happy. Okay, like you, whenever you go to festivals or whatnot, you really don't want rain. Okay, however, we went to the Strawberry Festival, and it was, when we got there about 5:30-ish, it had already been raining. And then it did like the whole sprinkle, 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 sprinkle. And then we went to go see Jamie Johnson. He only got to play 4 songs before we all got kicked out.
Because of the rain.
Because of the rain, yes. But I didn't care. And I'm not one of those, I don't like, it's not like, ooh, I don't like to be rained on, but like, I don't like rain. There's like dreariness to it. But I was so happy for that rain. So rain.
We really need it. And we're going to get a little bit more today and then Sunday a little bit, and then dry middle of the week, and then rain again next weekend. So we desperately need it. We're down about 1.5 inches already for the year across the state. We do have extreme drought conditions. A burn ban is on.
Yes.
And so you want to pay attention to that. So yesterday, Lizzie, I was at a nursery, and a wonderful woman was walking through the nursery and kind of stopped. And we had a little bit of a conversation. We started talking, and I loved her spirit. She had a sweet soul, and she was just walking through the nursery, not to buy anything, but just to take in the plants and the flowers.
Yes.
And just enjoy them. So it was a really wonderful conversation. She's from Detroit, Michigan, and she headed back to Detroit, Michigan yesterday.
Oh.
And so a big shout out to my new friend from Detroit, Mary. And her Instagram is Fame by Mary. And I love, she's a new gardener. She doesn't really know what to do. And so, you know, gardening is healing.
It really is. And I just was like, whatever. But then the more that I did it, I'm like, okay, I see.
It's cathartic. Working in the garden helped me when I lost my mama. And if you're feeling down or need some comfort, consider visiting a nursery just to walk through and enjoy the beauty, seeing the new plants. Go to a garden or a park to walk through. Enjoy the fresh air. If you need some comfort, take in the sights and scents of flowers. It really does help you. For those of you up north still experiencing snow like Detroit, you know, it's not as easy to get that uplifting feeling from spring because of the, what is it called, winter blues and
cabin fever,
lack of sunshine.
Yes.
But you can browse through your garden magazines and plant catalogs or seed catalogs, and you can start envisioning your spring garden. Planting ahead will lift your spirits, and just thinking about gardening, getting out there, getting some fresh air will do you a world of good. So today is the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Fair. This is the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club. It is going to be at Protegrity Plaza, 260 Wachivas Springs Road in Longwood. There's going to be lots of plant vendors, garden accessory vendors. We're going to have lots of speakers. I will be speaking today on how to create a terrarium, and it's going to be a really big size terrarium, and I'm going to give it away. So if you come to hear my talk, you have an option, a chance of winning the terrarium. Lots of hands-on children displays and activities, educational booths. There's going to be food trucks and floral design demonstrations. So I'll be speaking at 10 o'clock on easy-to-make terrariums. And then there's Nate Gabroff is going to be right plant, right place for the right reasons. Louise Gould is going to be on Fun with Flowers today. And The Secret Life of Bees is next with Alan Moore.
I'm really trying my hardest to, because I want to have bees.
Yes.
I really, really do.
They are very, very good. So
yes.
You'll be excited about the dirty word of the day then.
Oh, I can't wait.
You'll be excited about the dirty word of the day. So that is the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club Garden Fair. Today it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tomorrow is going to be 10 a.m. to 4. It's at Protegrity Plaza, 260 Wachivas Springs Road in Longwood. So that's going to be nice. So weather-wise today, so weather this week is going to be above average temperatures, 70s and 80s, lows in the mid-60s, great garden weather. More rain is on the way for next weekend, like I said. So you will not need irrigation this week. Watch to see if it comes on. If it comes on, check your irrigation shutoff device. It may not be working correctly. So you want to do that. Tampa, you're going to be a little cooler. Highs in the 70s, lows in the 50s. It's going to be sunny midweek. Rain coming back Thursday through Sunday. Central Florida, 60% chance of rain on Sunday. Highs in the 50s and lows in the, highs in the 70s and 80s. Ocala, same thing. You're going to see lots of warm temperatures. More rain for the East Coast this week. Ormond Beach, Melbourne, East Coast, Port St. Lucie. And so, Mike, in Venice, I hope you're getting a little bit of rain this week. Miami, rain this week, the weekend. Partly cloudy, then midweek, then rain next weekend. But enjoy it, everyone. Spring is our dry season. Again, we're down for about 2 inches for the year already after 2 years of a drought. So we're in a severe drought situation. We do need the rain. Coming up, what edibles are available to grow? Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist Nursery. He's going to be here to give us a rundown on his native plants and fruit trees, how they're doing. And he's got a great big event coming up in March, so we want to talk about that. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I was just talking about walking through a nursery and how uplifting it is. And one of those nurseries that's here in the area is Quality Green Specialist. They have an orchid trail. They have beautiful gardens that you can walk through. And just, I mean, even going and smelling the dirt. The dirt smells wonderful. I love it. Dana Venrick is with us this morning. He's the owner of Quality Green Specialist. Dana, how did the nursery do in the winter freeze we just had?
Well, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
And for the most part, it's doing quite well. It's looking probably better than ever. My sister, Luella, came up from Winter Haven, and she was amazed. How'd you have so many green and colorful plants after all this cold weather? I said, well, that's my secret, you know, between you and me.
That's great. So what surprised you most about this winter storm and the plants?
Well, I had a lot of surprises I'd like to talk about, but the most surprising thing, I believe, was the fact that the raised bed garden that we made like the 1st of December, mm-hmm. we planted everything, had no protection from the cold, completely uncovered. You cannot tell there was a freeze except for the dill that got burned back. And these are the things in the garden. Look beautiful. Look amazing without any cold protection. We have in there parsley, strawberries, kale, onions. We've got collard greens, sage, onions, carrots, turnips. The turnips, unbelievable, beautiful. We've got such a big turnip. One of the turnips is 5-inch caliper.
Oh, my goodness.
The trees to measure it.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. So these are cool season vegetables, and can we still be planting them right now?
Well, absolutely. It's a late spring, and so, yes, we have starts. We have all those starts in the 4-inch and 6-inch containers, and you can plant them now with small plants and still have a wonderful harvest of all types of things like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, squash, lettuce, your tomatoes and peppers, strawberries even, a little late, but you still have some success there.
Sure.
And onions probably, because we've got some nice onions in 6-inch containers.
Wow. So as you're driving through DeLand and also Orlando, Ocala, even up in the villages, you see some yards look extremely well. They didn't have any kind of winter damage. And the same plants in another yard down the street did poorly. What would be the reason for that?
Well, it makes a big difference if you maintain the yard with a good low salt index fertilizer, with good amounts of potassium and magnesium and sulfate forms, you know, that, you know, help impart cold hardiness. It's strong, healthy stems. And I see it in my neighborhood. You know, I saw the neighbor running the water all night, and I didn't run the water at all. My lawn is looking far better than where they were running the water all night.
You know, you're exactly right, because I have a client that their pipes, irrigation pipes, burst, and where it was spurting out water on the viburnums, which handled the cold very well, but where the water was hitting the shrub, it formed icicles, and that area is completely gone and totally brown, and you could see where the water was hitting it. And so and the viburnums did well. They weren't even damaged, because they can grow all the way up through, you know, Virginia. And so I was surprised at that.
Well, I was surprised on other things, too. I had several papayas and several mangoes out in the ground, exposed completely to the cold, no protection, and survived. They survived and looked like there's no damage. But right next to them are others that are killed back to the ground.
Wow.
It's got to be a number of factors, you know, about nutrition and also about the surrounding plants, how much buffering or
right
radiation being given off by the surrounding plants.
Oh, that's a good point. I haven't thought about that, where it was surrounded by plants and trees and kind of created its own little microclimate.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot to that. I'd like to do more research on that.
Yeah, no, I think there's going to be a lot of research on plants this year and for the coming years on this winter freeze. So pink and yellow tabebuias are blooming. They look beautiful. Are they early this year? Did the winter storm, is it creating?
Well, probably in some areas where it's a little bit more of a microclimate, a little bit warmer earlier. But here, I haven't seen any hint of bloom yet on the tabebuias here. Maybe because it got a little colder, they're a little bit later.
Yeah,
here.
I don't know. What about mangoes? There's a 30-foot mango tree on our street. Do they have to cut it back, or the leaves? When are the leaves going to drop?
Well, I've been sweeping, cleaning, raking leaves for the last week or so. And this weekend, I actually took out 11 55-gallon bags of leaves from my yard, from the big mango tree that's about 30 feet tall.
So your leaves dropped already, yeah.
And one of the avocados, believe it or not, another avocado had no damage. It's green and there was no damage. So it's so variable. Sometimes you wonder, you know, just a small difference in hardiness makes a big difference.
Well, will papayas and mangoes and avocados, will they fruit this year? Is there still a chance for them to produce fruit?
There is a chance if they weren't killed back too much. All of them generally will sprout out on the trunk or down near the base.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, that new growth is going to take about 18 months or so, over a year, to start producing at least ripe papayas.
Okay, so that's good to know.
Just wait a while.
So what type of care do blueberries? My blueberries did wonderful. They turned brilliant red, but they look great. But what should we do with blueberries in March?
Well, ours look great too, but they need a little light application of a blueberry special. We've got a really fine blueberry special we make ourselves. It's a 727 analysis, and it's got good minerals. You know, it's got some ammonium form that blueberries take up, as you know,
mm-hmm.
unlike most plants that take up nitrate form of nitrogen.
Right.
And so it's got, you know, some of the bioavailable carbon that's so important, and the fulvic acid from the carbon, and a little bit of volcanic pumice, you know, to help impart hardiness, but not too much. It's so important for give a little light application right now, because they need it in order to produce those sweet
Blueberries.
Blueberries.
Yeah. I'm going to have to come by and get some. So you will see me this week with the blueberry special. I've got to come pick it up.
Yeah, and remove any canes that, you know, sort of like died back during the winter months.
Okay.
And encourage the others that are healthy to come on out and flower and fruit more vigorously.
So speaking of pruning and cutting back, ornamental grasses, can they still be cut back right now?
Yes, it's a late winter, and I haven't seen any hint of new growth yet on those grasses. That will encourage new growth at just the right time here because of the late frost and late freeze.
So tell us about the big event you have coming up in March.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We have the Florida Wildflower Festival, Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival, Saturday, March the 28th, downtown DeLand and in the Athens Theater. We're having talks. And so, by the way, what's your talk going to be?
My talk is about the variety of pollinators that you may not know are in your yard. So I'm going to be doing a pollinator talk, and it's going to be really cool. And
I heard you were going wild down there.
Pollinators gone wild.
All right.
It'll be a lot of fun.
I'm going to talk, too. This should be, you know, dueling talks. I'm going to talk about sustainable gardens should last forever.
That's wonderful. You know, that is so true. You know, you don't have to do a lot of work or, you know, your plant should look good for a long time. And if it's sustainable, I can't wait to hear it.
Well, that's the title of my book, and I've got most of it written. And so in the not-too-distant future, I hope that book will be out so everybody can read it.
That will be great, Dana. I can't wait to read it, and you'll have to come on and tell us more about it. So Dana, tell us what do you have going on? What's good to get right now at your nursery?
Oh, my gosh, we've got such a good selection of all types of things. We've got orchids that are full of spikes of bloom. We have pentas, sun patients. The firebush were killed back, but we've got a good selection of many other things right now. Turnips, collards, cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, squash, lettuce, tomato, beefsteak tomatoes, peppers, parsley, strawberries that have some strawberries on them.
Oh, nice.
Kale and onions and a wide selection of herbs.
That's going to be nice. That'll be great getting them in the ground for Easter and having a nice dinner for Easter.
And all types of beautiful trees that are Florida hardy natives.
You also have olive trees. You have a lot of fruiting trees too, don't you?
Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to a big crop of olives this year. We pressed oil for the first time off of our olive trees this year. In fact, I'm looking at a bottle of olive oil we pressed this past August.
How cool is that? That is wonderful. So, Dana, tell us where Quality Green Specialist Nursery is so everyone can stop by and plan for the spring event.
Close to Stetson Campus, just northwest of downtown, beautiful downtown DeLand, 335 West Michigan Avenue. Come visit. We're open 9 to 4 every day, and we look forward to talking with you and showing you how you can have a beautiful yard.
Wonderful, Dana. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Okay. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that's Quality Green Specialist in DeLand. Just going by and walking through is amazing. And they have a beautiful orchid trail. And these temperatures, you're going to start to see your orchids blooming. And Dana has all the right materials and fertilizers and special micronutrients that you need to have a beautiful, not only a beautiful lawn, but a beautiful garden.
Yes, I think between the two of you that you guys have done very well of explaining what we've done wrong to have so much damage. I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to have damage because of the freezes. However, there may be some things that we could, you know, potentially not do next time.
Exactly. Well, we'll be talking about it throughout the year, but I'll start to let everybody know right around August how we need to prepare. And we're going to be back. We're going to take your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We've got some text messages already on the way. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'd love your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680, just like this gardener in Melbourne. Very early. He was here waiting for us, wasn't it, Lizzie? And
yes.
She says, when should new bulbs be planted? Dahlias and gladiolus. And she's in Melbourne, Florida. Or he is in Melbourne, Florida. And you can plant them now. Go ahead and plant them now. Dahlias do lovely here right now. You can do transplants. Gladiolus, you can plant successfully over the next 3 to 4 months. And if you will plant, you know, 4 to 5 or 6 gladiolus bulbs every week, then they will bloom in a succession. And you'll have flowers all summer long. Mm. And they will bloom all the way into August and September.
So like maybe like create like a row in the front,
yeah,
and make sure you mark it so you know. Because if you're like me, I went through and put all my bulbs in and I'm like, oh, and I'm going to dig a hole. I'm like,
there's something
there.
Excuse me, but go back to what you were doing.
Go back to growing. And then you put a second row and then you would plant that and then a third row. So then it'll be like, boink, boink, boink.
Okay. Exactly. Let's go to Ron in Orlando. Good morning, Ron. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I have 4 different kinds of tropical-ish plants that really took a hit with the freeze.
Okay.
I've got an areca, a robellini, bougainvillea, and a split-leaf philodendron, and they all look dead.
Yes.
So, and everybody said, don't do anything for a couple of weeks. Well, that's been a couple of weeks. So,
and they still look dead.
What do we do about watering, and what do we do about trimming? And are they different from one plant to the other?
No, all your plants need watering on the same basis, the same amount. With this rainfall, though, you don't need to water this week. Okay, so if you got a nice amount of rain, even you know a quarter of an inch, and then it's going to rain again next weekend, that's going to be enough rain. You don't need to overwater right now. Even though we're in a drought, overwatering doesn't help the situation. And with all these plants that have dead leaves and are declining, you might create more fungal issues with overwatering. So don't do that. So your palm trees, cut off all the brown fronds. You can do that. So your areca palms, if they're completely brown, cut them off. If they're kind of like half brown, half green, I would leave those because palms need their fronds to be able to go through photosynthesis and create chlorophyll and, you know, get the nutrition they need for to grow and recover. Your split-leaf philodendron, I would go ahead and depending on how big it is, you can cut it down to the ground or you can just cut the leaves, the dead leaves off of those trunks. So just depending on how big it is, you can determine that. But, you know, your trunk, if your trunk looks good, just cut the leaves off. What was the other plant?
Bougainvillea.
Bougainvilleas. Okay. Your bougainvillea may have taken a hit. So I would just kind of scrape it, see if you see any new growth. How big is it?
The size of a human.
Size of a human. Okay, 6 foot tall. So, you know, 5 foot tall. If you're Lizzie and I, 4.5 foot tall. And so, but bougainvilleas, yeah. Scrape it, see if it comes back, but you can cut it down to the ground and it'll recover.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all going to recover.
That's wonderful news. Thank you, Teresa. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Ron. Call me back and let me know how they do. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Fine. Good morning, Teresa. I got a question for you on the last guest you had on there for the green specialties.
Yes, Dana Venrick. Uh-huh.
Venrick, yeah. And the blueberry fertilizer was 727, and the nitrogen was a certain compound or radical of it.
Right.
What was that?
Well, you know, that's a special formula he makes. It's in a sulfate form. But what you need to do for your blueberries – unless you want to go to DeLand, which is a little bit away from Citrus County.
Yeah.
But what you can do is you can use an azalea fertilizer or a soil acidifier. Espoma has fertilizer for blueberries, especially for blueberries. Uh-huh. So if you get that Espoma blueberry fertilizer, it will be fine.
Okay. So I heard him mention no nitrate, and that's probably a good thing to look for then.
Right. Exactly. No nitrates.
Yeah, you want the other types of nitrogen.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am great.
Okay, I need to talk to you about two things.
Okay.
But can I tell you about my birthday present?
Yes. Happy birthday.
It was on the 24th. It's okay. Bob went to Tractor Supply.
Uh-huh.
And my old windmill took a hit, and it's all bent.
Uh-huh.
But he went to Tractor Supply. He got me a new windmill.
Oh.
It has a rooster that has rain boots on it and a chick. Then there's flowers.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then there's another chick. And when the wind blows, the rooster starts going up and down. the windmill starts spinning. It is the cutest thing.
Oh, if you could take a video and send that to Lizzie, that would be great. I'd love to see it.
I will.
But didn't Bob know the trauma you have with roosters?
Oh, they're back.
Oh, are they back? Oh.
They're back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're back. And one is running around the yard all the time.
You know, is Eileen talking smack? Because she knows I told her that our phone lines are cranking out and she's out here and I'm not even listening.
Oh, but no, Bob got her for her birthday.
Oh.
A windmill with a rooster on it that goes up and down with some chicks.
And she didn't send me a picture?
No,
I am so disappointed.
She's going to send you a video of it
going up and down. Happy birthday, Eileen.
Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome.
There you go. All right. And so your big question.
Caterpillars and grasshoppers.
Okay. Lubber grasshoppers haven't come out yet. The cold is going to probably delay it a little bit. But you can go and start looking for them in March. They're going to be hatching. And you're going to start to see lubber grasshoppers. Take care of them immediately when you see them. And, always kill lubber grasshoppers. Thank you, Eileen. So we're good. Bobby, hold on. We're going to get you next. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this week is my top five flowering shrubs that should be used more. Number one, the spirea. This plant thrives in zones 4 to 9, easily adapts to various environments, including poor soil, extreme temperatures, humidity, drought, and pollution, making spirea care very easy. In addition to being low maintenance, spirea bushes attract butterflies and other pollinating insects. They're beautiful. Number two, banana shrub. Named for its flowers fruity scent, the banana shrub produces an abundance of cream-colored one-inch blossoms edged in crimson that resemble miniature magnolias. Flowers during the spring. Once established, the plant is highly drought-tolerant and adapts well to a range of light conditions. Zones 8 to 10. Number 3, Sweet Spire, Henry's Garnet. It's a native, which exhibits elegant arching branches and typically attains a height of 3 to 4 feet, ranging from 5 to 6 feet wide. Zone 6 to 10 is deciduous, and it may be evergreen all year long in South Florida. Number 2, Summer Sweet, another native, which is beautiful. A deciduous flowering shrub typically found in swamps, wet flatwoods, savannas, and bogs, and lakefronts. If you have moist soil, this is great for you. It has considerable ecological benefits, providing resources for wildlife. It has fragrant flowers that bloom spring through summer and attracts hummingbirds, bees, butterflies, and other pollinators. Zones 3 to 9. Number 1, my Grand Duke of Tuscany. It is a beautiful jasmine. I love it. evergreen flowering shrub, valued very highly for its fragrant double-petaled white blooms that closely resemble miniature camellias. The flowers are larger than most jasmine and contrast beautifully against deep green foliage. Well-suited for fragrance-oriented gardens, this slow-growing and compact species performs best in warm, humid environments, zones 9 to 11. Those are my top five flowering shrubs that should be planted more often. Let's go to Bobby in Palm Bay. Good morning, Bobby. How can I help you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, okay, I did, I think, rather well through all that cold.
Good.
All the freezing. Except my desert rose is.
Yeah. Desert roses are native to Africa. They really took a hit.
I thought they would do a lot better because they're from deserts.
Yeah.
But, no. So I've cut them all back and cinnamoned them, and I'm going to see how they do.
Yeah. I would be just careful about the watering, too. You don't want to get them too mushy when it gets winter like this. They tend to hold on to the moisture. So I would spray it with a fungicide, too, as well. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, and keep it from getting a fungus on it.
It's a good idea.
Okay. All right. And, and then it should come out. Give it lots of plenty of sun. And just keep it, you know, just watch the water. Press on it. If it feels soft and mushy, don't water it.
Yeah, I cut off most of all the soft, mushy.
Okay, good. All right, good. It should recover for you.
I hope so, because there were some unique ones.
Oh, my goodness. I love the really exotic ones. Oh, well, I wish you well. I hope it does very good for you. Let me know.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Let's go to Michael in Melbourne. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you? Oops. I'm sorry. Did I take that one early?
You're just super excited to chat with Michael from Melbourne. He didn't give me a chance. He usually tells me jokes off air and everything, and he then just took them up out of my ear and took them on air.
It's my turn. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, dear, and thank you so much. You know, the freeze really hit us pretty good. I'm over in Melbourne Beach, and I'm in the middle of the island, but I have 7 mangoes and 6 avocados, and they range in height between 12 to maybe 18 feet, and they were just full of blossoms this year. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, the darn squirrel's going to have a ball this year. Yeah. Anyway, I have a real specific question, and I know it maybe sounds silly, but I had stocked up on a good buy on some fertilizer, and I have permafrost all around all my trees, and my trees are all brown. Do I lay that fertilizer on top of my permafrost?
Okay, so no.
The permafrost was a joke.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay. I was trying to understand. Okay, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and fertilize now. Just give them a light fertilizing, nothing heavy.
Okay.
Especially after this rain, it'll be really good. And are the leaves starting to drop?
Not yet, but I'm gonna have a yard full just like everybody else.
You could go ahead and fertilize them. That might, you know, it's gonna stimulate them a little bit and get them to push those leaves, new leaves out. So that'll make the others drop.
A sage.
I mean, what?
I hear you're a sage. A sage.
Yes.
Okay. All knowing and all seeing.
Yes.
Is there any hope for fruit this year?
I wouldn't count on it. You know,
I
would.
What I wanted to hear.
I know.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, but I'm just hoping they live. Okay, so if they live and you're fertilizing them, I would do it every 3 months. After once the the warm weather starts, just do it on a regular basis. Just the amount. You don't need to over fertilize, but just the amount recommended on the label, and keep your fingers crossed.
They're like babies, and you have brought them up, and they're that big now, and I do fertilize quarterly, so
okay, good.
I just wondered whether I was going to waste a couple $100 worth of fertilizer by putting on, you know, with they're all dead.
If they survive, you haven't wasted it, so it'll really need it. Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye. He is just so sweet.
Oh, he's hysterical. Like I said, he cracks me up every time he calls in, so.
Okay, we've got some great text messages coming. So, hi, Teresa and Lizzie. Oh, Mike checked in. Mike got 3/4 of an inch of rain in Venice, and he's so happy. So that's wonderful. I'm so pleased for you. He woke up to thunder this morning. I love thunder.
I do too.
Oh, I love thunder. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard any yet so far. So this is the first time I've caught your show since the big freeze. He's in Palm Bay. What's likely to happen with my foxtail palms, Christmas palms, hibiscus standards, and firebush? He said, thank you in advance. Well, I will tell you what's going to happen is your foxtail and your Christmas palms, the fronds have turned brown already, or they will. Okay, you want to make sure that you're using a fungicide on the top of your palm trees where the fronds come out, that apical stem right in the center. You want to make sure that you put in the fungicide on it, the copper fungicide. That's going to prevent it from rotting. Your hibiscus standards, the top portion of your hibiscus, okay, and a hibiscus standard is one where it has a long trunk, and then the leaves are all in the top in a circular shape or just a rounded shape at the top. And I would go ahead and scrape back the cambium. You might lose the top of it, and it might recover from the bottom, and it just be a regular shrub. It may not be a standard anymore. But if it did survive, then go ahead and just trim the dead off of the top portion and pray. Okay, your firebush, I don't know if your firebush is going to make it. Firebushes really took a hit.
They really did.
They really did. And so many of the hedges, I don't know if they're going to come back or not. So again, I would scrape the edge. All the dead portions, you might just want to cut it down to the ground and see if it recovers from the bottom. We're just going to have a lot of hedges that aren't hedges for a while.
You are no longer identifying as a hedge. I am sorry.
And so it's just one of these years. And again, we don't get these every year, but when we do, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. And so I do appreciate that. So then what can damaged bananas, when can damaged bananas be cut back? And what in the world is the best tool to use?
Yes, thank you, Colette, because I've got those banana trees.
Yes.
And so I'm just like, whenever we had that, oh, we're having another freeze, I was just like, I saw that beautiful green leaf coming out, and it's like the size of my arm. And I'm like, no, there's another freeze. Why didn't you stay hidden? But what do we need to do?
Go ahead and cut all your bananas back down to the ground right now. They're not going to... what's left upright or what's already there that's been damaged is not going to be good. So go ahead and cut them down to the ground. You can use a serrated knife or a saw and to cut them down, depending on how thick they are.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So just use something serrated that will cut through those fibrous stalks. Okay, Colette, thank you. It's good to hear from you. Teresa, hi. One of the four trunks of my Christmas palm has lost all its fronds. Should I cut that trunk to the ground? Will the plant survive at all? Only time can tell. I would not cut it down to the ground yet. Okay, wait to see if it recovers. Again, I would use a copper fungicide on the top of all palm trees to keep them from rotting and see how it does. You might be surprised it might survive. If it doesn't, give it about 6 weeks. And if it doesn't, you can always cut it down to the ground out of your whole three palms, you know. So multi-trunk. There you go. I got it out. I want to thank Dana Venrick for coming on this morning and inspiring us with all of his wonderful tips on growing. Go by and see him at Quality Green Specialist Nursery. Mary, it's great to have you. I'm so glad I met you. Thank you so much. Enjoy the spring in Detroit, Michigan, if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
You can always recap the show or catch any shows that you may have missed by going to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.